Always, it's a joy to be here. My wife and I, we anticipate, when we were driving yesterday, we were anticipating our arrival here and being with you all this morning because we leave so encouraged by you. And I was just thinking, the transition between Bible class and this second session that we're having here this morning, there was such a noise in the auditorium. That's wonderful, man. I thought, where's a congregation that really loves each other? This is a privilege for me to speak to you today. And when Sherry and I get back from Africa, you know, we always are in the bush and we get to take some pictures. And I've got to share about a few pictures of our latest wildlife. You know, this was a group of elephants. A little baby was part of this herd, and the little baby started chasing us, you know, in our Jeep. And I thought, well, the baby, you know, we could handle you, but the baby was cocky because there was bull and mother elephants behind the baby. And she knew that, you know. Next slide is this was taken. We were just about to end our safari, and this guy that I'm really close to, being a game warden there through for decades now, he said, "I believe there's some lion down there, and we have to get out of the park before it's completely dark." So we just had just a few minutes. So we drove down this road, and there we saw this lioness. Now, I want you to know that when I left that morning on the safari, I was really, you know, hoping that we'd see lion. But this is typical human nature, by the way. We got to her, and then we saw her, and then let me just tell you, we ended up having 16 lions around our Jeep. And then I was saying, then I was praying, "God, I need to leave right now." So we never satisfied, are we? Next slide. This is the best steak in the world. If you ever come to Africa, if you ever have a group here from South Green Street, you got to eat warthog steak. It's the best. Next slide. This crocodile is not angry at me. It is winter in July. This was taken actually late July, and it is a cold-blooded creature, and it opens up its mouth to get the sun's rays. And so, but still quite an intimidating, this particular croc was about close to about 11 to 12 feet long, weighed about 700 pounds, so pretty good sized boy. Next slide. So you've been a part of what Bart has already said, this new beginnings, because we are into our 11th year. We will begin our 11th year. And a lot of great things have been done. Next. So last year we had 907 people come to Jesus Christ and were immersed. Some of you, if you follow our Facebook page, you'll see that this is our last picture we put up, because this was nine that had just been baptized in Zambia. And up through October we have 856 this year, but I want you to know this will probably be, because we've got a couple of other events happening, that I think that we're going to go over 1,000 immersed into Christ. And we are so excited. And because of our leadership and maturing program that we have, our retention rate right now is between 79 and 80%. And so I just want you to know that everything that I'm sharing with you, you're a part of that, okay? So whatever you've achieved here domestically and locally, that's wonderful. But I want you to know that your outreach is global. And I know there are a lot of other missions globally that you're connected with, but this is part of it, and you've helped make this happen. Next. Some baptisms we have to prepare for, because we had 37 to be baptized here. When we got them there, they couldn't go straight into the water. Well, the preacher said we have to hold on. I'm excited. I'm saying, "Come on, why are we waiting?" He said, "Brother Flynn, we need to get some sticks and just put them in the water, make sure there's no crocodiles." Well, I thought that was a good idea, you know. I thought that was. Next slide. So in the 10 and a half years, we've been able to plant 45 rural churches in the countries that we are working in, and that is Zimbabwe. This particular one is meeting under a tree in Zimbabwe. I want you to know that we've just drilled them a well, and we don't raise money for buildings, and we don't raise money for preachers. Once we bring the water, that's the fishing rod. And I'll show you in a minute of a church that took a well and what they did. But these are in the countries that we are working in right now. We started in Zimbabwe 10 years ago. We in Zambia now, we are in Swaziland, we are in South Africa, and now we are adding Lesotho, and we are about to take our first campaign to Lesotho next summer. And so we are thankful that we are now working in an area about 22 times the size of Kentucky. And the church and the team on the ground that we have is just tremendous. Next slide. Apart from the 45 rural, we have also planted 30 urban churches. And this is one in Siavonga. Some of the churches, you know, are in the city are 300, 400, 500. And in the country, it can be 100, maybe 50, maybe 20. But I want you to know that we are in a sweet spot, because we have people that are willing to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they are willing to respond. It blows my mind that the World Bible School students, the World Bible School lessons that we hand out all the time as part of our evangelistic outreach, I mean, none of them get wasted. They all get read. And maybe not everybody's accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior yet, but I just want you to know that they are reading and they are listening and they don't waste the material. It's amazing. Next slide. So this is one reason why our retention rate is so high, is because we have 25 leadership seminars annually. We've got ladies' workshops. We have ladies' lectureships, men's lectureships, YES rallies. YES stands for Youth Exalting the Son. That's our youth rallies that are going on, marriage and family seminars. I just mentioned to Bart that I would love for him and his family to come sometime in the future. Maybe we can set a date. I would love, we have young people that are just connected with the world because of this mass media we have, and are listening to all the arguments that the world has to offer. I want him to come teach on Christian evidence. We will have hundreds of young people willing to listen to that besides young adults. And our marriage seminars, I mean, it's just amazing how we are transforming lives. Next. I still get so emotional with this picture, because this is in the bush in Zimbabwe, and we had a leadership seminar, and so some of the men got there early so they could get the best seats. I'm joking. They sat there from 10 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon in those seats to listen to the Word of God being taught. Some of them had already walked 2 or 3 miles just to get there. You walk away from an event like that, and you want your faith to continue to grow more and more when you see this demonstration of the love for the Word of God to be taught. Next slide. So right now we're working with over 350 churches in 5 countries, and think of all those ministers that we are impacting. And I'd like to tell you that we have 2 more elderships since we were last year. It's been 2 years, you know, since we had appointed, but 8 elderships in this, 11 years will be in February. I'm so happy about that. Our leadership training is not about, we've always preached the churches of Christ that, we don't have a pastor, But sometimes through our mission efforts, there has always been this point, man, and we've never gone any further. And our leadership and our focus is, listen, God's plan for leadership of his church goes beyond this. And so we are thankful. And of course, the women that we are impacting too, and the lives that they're impacting. Next. So Bible distribution. Well, when you baptize so many people, a lot of these people, they don't have Bibles. And so we got to have English Bibles, which we get a lot from here. In the United States. But next slide. All these young men. And I want you to know, one of the advantages about Zimbabwe and a lot of the other Southern African countries, most of these young people speak English. And so they grow up speaking English. They grow up at a minimum bilingual. Their native language, which is Zulu or Shona, and then they speak English. Next slide. However, here we are distributing Shona and Indibele or Zulu Bibles, because a lot of the people in the rural areas, older people, do not speak English. They don't have Bibles. And for us to give them a hardback Bible, I mean, it becomes, this Bible becomes the family Bible, as we have had. But I mean, it is read in that home. And so we had, so we are constantly, needing Bibles. But what a wonderful problem to have, isn't it? Next slide. One of the things that we did is we were the city of Bulawayo, where we started our work, is a city of about 1.4 million. And we know that we needed a base. In Africa, all buses lead to the city center. So you need to have something there. The churches of Christ need to have something in city centers throughout Southern Africa or throughout Africa. And so what we found this old Ford, empty Ford dealership, non-existent anymore. When I was a boy growing up there, that was a thriving Ford dealership, and we took it over. And so here we've got our Will Bible School students. We've planted a church. The youth come there all the time. And you know, when Will Bible School is a powerful tool, and when you have like a 10-day turnaround, by the time they give you the lesson, 10 days when they get their next lesson, I mean, it's just an amazing. Their enthusiasm stays. And that's one reason why so many young people are obeying the gospel. And baptisms are happening on a weekly basis. Next slide. So, when you have a lot of young people coming to the Lord and being in Bible studies and youth events and that, they notice each other. I mean, it just happens, you know. This doesn't change from generation to generation. So, this is a couple that met at church, and they asked me if I'd do their wedding. Now, I want you to know, in Africa, it's a whole different situation. When a couple comes together and they say, we love each other, then he has to go to his favorite uncle, and she goes to her favorite uncle after getting the blessings from the family, and they got to negotiate the bride's price. In Africa, it's called lobola. And if she is well-educated and has accomplished a lot, she's going to cost a lot of cattle. And so Parker has been saving for 2 years when he stood in front of me that day. And so the month before, he had to meet with the family because they now got to negotiate the bride's price. And he said, when he came back after it all been done, he said, I had to wait outside with my uncle outside the gate for 2 hours. He said, they knew we were out there, where they were making us wait. They wanted to see how humble a man I was. So when they invited me in the house, he says, you know, I sat on the floor. I wouldn't sit on a seat because they didn't invite me to sit on a seat. And if I sat on the seat, they might charge me more cattle. So I want you to know, cattle's $800 a head. I mean, this poor guy, you know, he's been saving and working. So anyway, the negotiations come out. The family says, our daughter has accomplished a lot. And by the way, she's a wonderful Christian girl. She's in university, and she's also a 400-meter sprinter for the under-21s in Zimbabwe. So they said 13 head of cattle. Now, he times 800. That's a, you know. He has worked so hard. He has enough money for 10 cattle. And so he pleads through his uncle, this young man, you know, he loves your, he'll take care of your daughter and all. Well, grandmother, this young lady's grandmother's in a back room. She comes through, listening to the negotiations. She comes through and she says, this young man, I know him. He is a good Christian. He will make a good husband, a good father. They will be going to church all the time. They will serve the Lord. Give him a discount. So anyway, 10 cattle. Next slide. Just want you to see how they sit at a wedding. Everybody's got to see the bride come in, and instead of turning around all the way, everybody's got it because it's her day. And so that's how the seating is, which I thought was unique. Next slide. This is our, so all of that has been accomplished, that we have accomplished so far, and this is all glory goes to God. But God is using us. We are his tools. But a lot of our opportunities to preach and share the gospel has come through our good works. And one is our ACT project, and Bart mentioned about all the boxes that have been collected. There's no telling how many boxes we've got from this church of clothes that have helped us open doors. And so our son, who's in the middle there, is heading the ACT project for us, and that is one of our grandsons in the orange shirt. Next. And that's his son. The grandson standing next to him was our daughter's son. This is his son. He's a young guy. They're all into it, you know. I might have mentioned this before, but I do want you to know that the grandsons, we have three, came to my wife and I. This was a few years ago, and not as tactful as they could be when they're older. Said, when you and Grandma die one day, don't worry, we'll continue Partners for Africa, you know. And, of course, I said, don't rush me, you know. So next slide. We have shipped 36 containers. In fact, I've got to correct this because Friday we shipped 37. And our goal was, I just want to remind us all, our goal was one 20-foot container a year. We thought that would be unbelievable. Well, we are shipping 40-foot containers. We're 10 years into this. This is our 37th that's about to hit on the water. Each container has 1,250 banana boxes. And so we are moving right ahead. So the next slide I want you to see is quite embarrassing. You'll notice a lady there walking away with a green shirt, and she has boxes on her head. Well, I was helping to unload, and I was carrying three banana boxes. I'm a big guy. I was carrying three banana boxes, and she looked at me. She's holding, well, not at this point, but she had done it before. She was holding two and had three on her head. Hello, Brother Flynn. How are you doing? And I thought, yeah, they're quite embarrassing. But it's amazing how excited they get, you know. Next slide. So I was in LJ, Georgia, and we were presenting our work, and a farmer comes up to me and says, I love what you're doing with agriculture and the way you're feeding people. And he said, I'm going to speak to my brother. And the two nights later, they called me and they said, we're going to donate you a John Deere tractor. And so we were about to load a... So that's not the end of the story, by the way. I was at West Dyersburg the next Sunday, mentioned what had happened. A guy came up to me and he says, well, I want you to know you've got your plow and you've got your disc and you've got your seed planner. And so I called Healing Hands in Nashville, Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith says, well, Dorian, we've got a tractor that's supposed to go to Uganda and they won't allow it in. Will you take it? Thank you, Lord. So here we got a container that's going with two tractors and all the equipment. Next slide. So this is our son who's heading up the ACT project and his family. Next slide. This is our daughter and her family, and she's taking care of our. We've done a new website. She does all our communication for us. It is wonderful to have your whatever endeavor you're in, to have your children, you know, helping and working with you. And so we're glad. Our oldest grandson there on the right has gone to Africa four times with us, and he'll be coming again this year, and so will the youngest one. Next slide. So Carl Butt from Apologetics Press came to me. He says, Dorian, I've got the second donation of books for you all. You've already given us 10,000. He said, can you take another 10,000? I said, yes. And I want you to know that these books are being distributed in this picture at the Ministry of Education in Zambia. And they would not let us begin the ceremony until we had the Canberra crew come, which you see on the left, and they had it on national television that night that the Churches of Christ had given books to the Ministry of Education on the creation of the world. I thought it was just tremendously powerful for us to be able to reach other doors. So in our public schools, in the public schools in Zambia, all these books are going through these textbooks. Next slide. Thank you for helping with the food. Some have given on when we've been here, have given money for food, and we're feeding those children in those countries, those orphans. We've had a lot of them to obey the gospel. Next slide. I want you to see that green bar. That green bar is a very economical soap that we give orphans to take home, and that soap is cut up in sections, and they use it to wash their bodies, wash their clothes, wash their dishes. Next slide. This is an open well, our dad project, which Bart referred to, and you all have helped tremendously. We had trained a preacher. He had gone back to his home village, and when he got there, he found that the villagers had dug this well. They just had gone down and just kept on digging, you know, and three children had already died by falling into the well. And so we diagnosed the problem, and we took care of it. Next slide. And here is the well closed up now. When I was here last time, we had done 67 wells. We've done 72 now. And remember what our goal was. Our goal originally was 50 wells in 10 years. So we're marching on towards 100. You know, we're adding more countries. You know? So 42,000 families are aided. You think about what an evangelistic tool this is. Every single day, people come to get water. And where we drill these wells is where we have either planted a church or about to plant a church. And that message, who's providing the water? The Churches of Christ are, and the opportunities that come. When I was here last time, I mentioned to you that there was a guy that had he was a Muslim. He was teaching children in the afternoon. Opened his own school. It was a public school in the sense that math, arithmetic, English, all of that sort of thing. But he had the Quran. He was teaching the Quran, and he came and started growing vegetables in our yard. He got to know our preacher, and he's become a Christian. And now the Bible's being taught in that school now. It's just amazing. It all came from water. Next slide. The reason I wanted to stress this picture is because life expectancy is extended, but do you know that by drilling wells, you have sent hundreds of girls to school? Because when you got to go get water every day, guess who it falls on in Africa? It falls on young girls. When I see these young girls in front of me here, if they were in Africa and there was no water in their village, they would be the ones going to get water, and it would take 3 to 6 hours a day to go get water, and they would not get to go to school. And when we come and we plant, or we drill a well, those young girls get to go back to school and get an education. And so that's sort of a byproduct. We want them to know Jesus, of course. That's the ultimate goal, but that's a wonderful blessing. 38 churches we've planted from that. Next slide. This was a well that we dug. They had a tremendous drought. The city water was cut off. They didn't have water but one day a week. Can you imagine? Can you imagine going to your faucet only one day a week? I mean, that's what it was in the cities. We drilled this well, and I just want you to know that we opened the well 5 in the morning until 7 at night, and people were lined up the whole day. There was no break, and they got water every single day from our well, and it never ran dry. And you can think of the wonderful number of people. I don't know the number, but I mean a substantial amount of people who obeyed the gospel since then. Next slide. So remember I told you about not raising money for church buildings and preachers? Here's a church. We went out there. We drilled a well for them. And what did they do? From that, they made these bricks, which formed into an oven. And then they made their bricks for their project. Next slide. And so they built their own building. just bring the water and we'll take the ball and run with it. That's the kind of people that we are working with. Next slide. This is our last well that we have done. Not the last one that we just got to this point right now, 72nd well. And this is for an orphanage of 100 children. Next slide. There's the children. You see their clothes dryer in the background. It's sunny all the time, man. Just throw it over the line. It'll be dry soon, and it's very low humidity, so it works out good. Next slide. And so the 100 orphans, they had no clean water. Life expectancy for them prior to the clean water was about 35 years. And now they're going to be able to have longer lives. And besides, they're at an orphanage run by some wonderful members of the Churches of Christ in that area. Next slide. This is our clinic, and we opened it up in September 2016. And as you can see, it's only been open 2 years, but we're the number 2 clinic. We've had the government come, and every time that they want to have a seminar, they want to come to our clinic, because this rural clinic is what they want all rural clinics to be. Next slide. So maternity on the left, as I said, and everything else on the right. Next slide. 96 babies born, 5,500 children immunized, snake bites, infections. This little boy has come for an update on his snake bite, and he would have died, and his father was so happy. In fact, the villagers came out all over, to thank us. And listen, let me tell you, the clinic's wonderful. It's needed. There was no facility like this in the area. People were dying all the time. Women were giving birth on the floor. But it is a tool by which we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Next slide. And we had a mother to obey the gospel. This is Sherry with some of the, we had a church that made, crocheted some hats, and we gave it to some of the new babies born. And then we went and baptized a mother, and several of those had already been baptized as well. Next slide. So now we get to our school, and I'm going to close now with this, because I want you to know this is where we're going. This is huge, but we could not have this if it wasn't for all the good works that we had done. 2 things have to happen if you're going to build a school. And I know there's a lot of things, but I'm talking about 2 major things. You have to have land where you can build your facility, and then you've got to have a faculty. And I want you to know that I believe God has blessed us with both. We have 70 acres given us. They said when we finish our first classroom wing, the government's going to give us 50 more acres. So I want you to know that we're probably going to end up with a campus of 125 acres. We are going to open the school in 2020, and our faculty is already moving over there. The principal, who is from Zimbabwe, came to Fried Hardman in Kosalati and Pofu, was student body president there, finished a BA and two masters, and is going to be getting work on his doctorate. Him and his wife are already over there. Another young couple, Bart knows the Will and Emily Glover. I remember Will and Emily Glover. They are about to leave in January, and they're going to go over there. And so we're going to spend 2019 planting a church on the campus. And they're going to do good works. They're going to share the gospel throughout the community. So when the school opens, everybody's going to know us. Next slide. So now school is beginning. We're on our third construction, our third building construction. And then we will begin with our classroom wing. Next slide. This is our school. Number one is our auditorium. Number two, you can see, is our classroom wings. This is a 10-year project. We're 2 years into it, okay? It's $1 million project. We've already raised $250,000. In my mind, the school's already done because I believe that we're right in the middle of God's will, because we're going to be teaching children about Jesus Christ. This school is going to have a student population of a little over 1,000 when it's running full, because we're going to have day scholars and we're going to have boarders as well. Next slide. How do you fund it? Here's our tomato plants. I showed you last year, 45,000 tomato plants. So this year we had 28,000 tomato plants because, next slide, we planted corn. Next slide. Then we planted cabbage. That's real young. And the next slide, I just want to show you, it's all drip irrigation. So the fertilizer and the water goes to every single plant. And so we can grow all year round because of the weather there. 9 months summer, 3 months winter. The winter's like our early spring, 60s to 70s in the day, 40s at night. So we are thankful. Next slide. Our goal is that when the freshmen begin in 2020, by the time they graduate, they will go straight into Amazon Christian University, because we don't want our young people coming to the United States. And my wife said, "You've got to be careful how you say that. It doesn't sound nice." I said, but the reason is we want young people in Africa also want opportunity. And that's one reason why they want to come to America. It is the land of opportunity. But if we can give Christian young people an opportunity to be upwardly mobile through getting an education there, then we will keep them and it will bless the church in the future. We want lawyers and doctors and nurses and truck drivers and farmers all to stay in Zimbabwe. And so go plant churches wherever you are, but help the church to grow in Southern Africa. And so we want you really to pray for this to become a reality. And I believe it will. Believe it will. You know, when I was a little boy growing up in Africa, one of the Bible stories that always fascinated me was Joshua, because Joshua's character, what impressed me about Joshua is he made the right choices. You read through his life, and as was mentioned in class this morning about how important choices and the right choices. He made the right choices. God challenges him, be strong and courageous in Joshua chapter 1, and listen, I know you're stepping into some ominous shoes, the shoes of Moses, but I will be with you just like I was with him. And he takes God at his word and he follows God. And when you get, you follow his life, you'll see later on, he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And you see this consistency in his life. And to all young people in this auditorium, I want to challenge you to make choices for God as early as you can. The earlier the better. So that as you enter full living, you don't have all this baggage with you because of wrong choices. But you know what happened? When the Levites stepped, they're entering the promised land, and when the Levites stepped their feet into the Jordan River, how the water backs up to the city of Adam and Israel comes through. And one of the cities that they have got to conquer is Jericho. And there's a lady in that city that has come to realize that this juggernaut that came from Egypt called the Israelites, their God is the greatest of all. And that no matter how strong the people of Jericho think their city is, it's going down because Israel has an all-powerful God. And she has the spies there. And they tell her, if you'll have all your family there and put that scarlet thread down, when we come, your family will be saved. And she believed it. Oh, by the way, and she was a prostitute. And yet, because of her faith, she is included in the lineage of Jesus Christ. My point? That Jesus Christ's arms are wide open for all of us that make those right choices at the beginning. He smiles on us. But for those that need to make the turnaround that we might call repentance or change the direction of their life, his arms are big enough for them too, because he loves everyone. It's the greatest message in the world that we have a Savior that has the power to bring redemption for everyone that would surrender to him. And that's why it was told Saul, why are you waiting? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Why? Because it's not just getting wet. It's a new birth. It's giving your life to Jesus Christ. It's a whole new track. It's all about regeneration. And that invitation has never changed. And we extend it this morning as we stand and as we sing.